Welcome to Pete and Hannah's Watchlist. I'm your host, Pete Mitchell. I'm here with my great co-host,
Hannah.
Hello, people.
Hannah, we're here today for AFI Top 100 10 Year Revisited. But before we begin, let us tell the viewers and the listeners what they should do.
Pretty please leave a like and subscribe to the channel.
Subscribe.
Leave a comment down below your feedback on this show, any of our other shows, thoughts and feelings.
Hit the notification button and you'll get great content like this one, including what's next, movie news, movie previews and reviews. Let's get on to today's show. Hannah.
Yes.
We are reviewing movie number 44, The Philadelphia Story.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this one before?
Yes.
I have. I have too. Hannah, It was released by MGM.
That is correct.
And this movie we found on Amazon Prime. Now, what perturbs me is Amazon bought MGM Prime. We have MGM Plus, and it wasn't on there. No, I don't understand it. I just don't understand it.
I think it's a weird here, because a lot of those movies Philadelphia Story, how I've watched it, has been on our cable network, Foxtel here. So usually it would be on there, but right now it's not, due to it's, you know, Western season, so it plays only Western movies. So I don't know where it is in the ether right now, but yeah, you can't watch it. You have to pay for it now.
I'm glad we got it, and hopefully they release a 4K copy like they have of the other ones.
Or even just a Blu-ray. Well, I'd take a DVD at this point. It's very hard to find over here.
Hannah, this movie was released on in December on Boxing Day.
Oh, wow.
In the United States.
It's a prize.
Its official release was the 17th of January, 1941. Mm. It goes for 152 minutes. The elevator pitch. A well-known socialite is getting remarried, but all hell breaks loose when her ex-husband arrives 2 days before the wedding.
Yeah.
Hannah, the budget for this movie was $914,000. The movies released that year, let's go through them now.
Ooh, there's some good ones.
Because it was released in 1940...
1940. Yes.
But it wasn't the majority of the box office, so we've put it in the 1941 year.
Yes.
Okay, so number 10 was They Die With Their Boots On by Warner Brothers.
Okay.
Ziegfeld Girl.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Was nine.
Yeah, well.
Men of Boys Town, number 8.
Mm-hmm.
A Yank in the RAF. By 20th Century Fox was number 7. Caught in the Draft was number 6 for Paramount. Philadelphia Story is number 5.
Yep.
How Green Was My Valley.
Ooh, okay.
Which was the 20th Century Fox. Louisiana Purchase was Paramount.
Mm.
Honky Tonk was MGM, and Sergeant York was number 1. So that was 1940. So it was pretty successful. The movies of 1940, because these are the movies that it went up against for Oscars. Boomtown, Great Dictator, Rebecca.
Oh, yeah.
They were the most popular movies of 1940. Hen.
Yes.
This movie was a play.
Yes.
And it was written by Philip Barry, who wrote many great plays, including Holiday, including this one.
Yep.
That got turned into movies.
Holiday, this movie,
play was specifically written for Katharine Hepburn, who was struggling at the time. We've already done a movie on the list for her, was Bringing Out Baby, which was a noted box office bomb.
Yes.
But, a fantastic movie on this list. So she went back to the stage, her original love.
Mm-hmm.
But then when this was successful, she got her then boyfriend, Howard Hughes, to buy the rights and then sell it to studios. He was struggling to sell it to studios because he wanted her to star as the title role.
Yes.
But eventually, MGM bit and they sold it for $250,000. He got Donald Ogden Stewart, who ended up writing An Affair to Remember.
Oh, yeah.
And he said it was the easiest job that he had ever done in Hollywood, rewriting the script, because the script was perfect. He said it was so easy. It is considered one of the best examples of a comedy remarriage. Now, we've talked about this before, but
it's true,
They had just changed the the censorships.
The censorship.
So they couldn't have anyone cheating on them. So the reason why they got dissolution of marriage was irreconcilable differences. You know?
Yes.
So the genre was popular in the 1930s and 40s, but the production code came in, so they had to sort of rework it. So Hepburn did the deal with Howard Hughes, and they did a deal with Louis B. Mayer, and got the... She originally wanted Clark Gable to play the title role. But the director that they got on, which was George Cukor, he had just come off working with Clark Gable in...
You gotta tell me.
Gone with the Wind.
Yes! So I was like, I've heard the director before. Like, I don't know
and
what
Clark
else.
Gable was a noted homophobe. And George Cukor was a noted homosexual director.
Yes.
And they had big falling out on the set.
Of Gone with the Wind.
They ended up getting...
That's what
Clark Gable was playing.
You know what I was... When I saw the director's name of this, I was thinking, I know that director.
So Catherine Hepburn wanted Clark Gable to play Dexter.
I understand.
And wanted Spencer Tracy, she hadn't met at the time, to play Mark Connor.
Wow.
And then they later met. And then...
I will say, that is an interesting movie as well. That movie still works in a weird way.
Okay, so... So they end up getting Clark Gable and Jimmy Stewart. Now, Jimmy Stewart came on Catherine Hepburn's radar because...
They got Jimmy Stewart and Cary Grant.
Cary Grant, sorry. Got Jimmy Stewart and he came on her radar for Mrs. Smith Goes Washington.
Yes.
And so he's the plucky reporter sort of thing. She thought that it would definitely work.
He does. He does give that.
So Cary Grant, who we've had on this list twice now.
Yes.
He played C.K. Dexter Haven. Catherine Hepburn, which we've had one on this list so far, she played Tracy Samantha Lord. Jimmy Stewart, who we've had...
Jimmy Stewart, who we'll continue to have. And we've had... I think we've counted he might have like five movies in
total.
Yeah,
so we've had him for Rear Window so far.
Yeah.
Ruth Hussey played Liz.
Mm-hmm.
John Howard played George Kittredge.
Yep.
Roland Young played Uncle Willie.
Yep.
John Heller played Seth Lord. Mary Nash played Margaret Lord. And Virginia Wilder had played Donna Lord. The reaction for this movie at the time. So MGM didn't think this movie was going to be successful. They gave it a slight push, but it ended up breaking the box office record held by Snow White for the Radio City. It was sold out for six weeks straight.
Yeah.
So it was huge in New York. Writing for the New York Times, Bosley Crowther wrote that the film has just about everything that a blue chip Connie should have. Witty, romantic script, Philip Barry's successful play, and the flavour of high society elegance in which patrons are invariably luxuriate the splendid cast of performers. Hepburn, Stewart and Grant were fantastic. Metro director George Cukor has graciously made in apparent in the words of the character the prettiest sights and the prettiest world of privileged classes enjoying their privileges. So very popular at the time. This movie was nominated for Best Picture. It was also nominated for Best Director. It was also nominated for Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Screenplay, and it won for Best Actor and Best Screenplay Adaptation.
Yep.
Rotten Tomatoes at the time, 100. Letterbox 4, IMDb 7.8, and we have had a remake of this movie.
Yes.
The Cole Porters High Society, starring Bing Crosby, Grace Kelly, Frank Sinatra, Louis Armstrong. What a movie.
Louis Armstrong.
All right, so let's talk about the actors. Okay, so, like, we're talking about some of the greatest stars in the history of
these three.
And it's amazing. It's amazing that we've got, like, the two remakes. So, the remake.
The remake also does have
two
that.
Big, absolute, massive singers and the biggest actress at the time.
Well,
end
it's
up,
in her final... That's her final... It's her final film.
So, when they're promoting this, they're calling her a princess.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is just amazing that these two movies are sort of like the twins, the two bookends of this, of this life. And...
They
both fantastic.
Yeah, I would say the Philadelphia Story kind of was like a big push for at least Jimmy and Catherine. Cary Grant was already making a name for himself. Huge. So it was just like a real catapult assessment for them. And then High Society was just a very lovely note to end on, like, Grace Kelly's career and everything.
But just, like, normally, like, remakes, we've been getting a lot of remakes lately and, like, sequels and stuff like that.
They don't know how to...
Normally, they don't work, but the sequel, the remake for this movie is... Yeah. It's just so delightful.
And you know what? It falls into the whole remake musical thing that we've been getting a lot lately, especially, like, on Broadway at the moment. There's, like, at least 5 different movie-turned musicals.
Yeah.
And this is one of those ones that actually works because it lent the story. All they had to do was just cut out dialogue and just replace it with music. And they
Cole Porter at the time was just on a high.
It was so good.
Yeah.
He definitely just threw in some songs that just...
Yeah. Every Thursday on Movie News, we do a segment called Clickbait, where we do the hottest of hot takes.
Yep.
Last week, hottest hot takes was Hannah brought up all the anniversaries of this year that's coming up.
There's shocking revelations.
Yeah, shocking revelations in it. I'm old. Hannah, your hottie hot take for Philadelphia Story.
My hottie hot take is that I think this is one of... I would like to go into the fact that this is probably the only musical remake of a movie that I've actually thoroughly enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Every other musical remake hasn't been great. If not, they're terrible or they're just for a different sort of crowd. Like, the person who liked the movie isn't so much going to love the musical version of it. Whereas I like both the original film and the musical version of A Philadelphia Story. It leans into it really well because what they do to change it is they turn the remake into a comedy.
Yep.
They lean into the comedy musical aspect of it.
Yep.
And it's all a light jest, whereas when you have, like, the recent Mean Girls musical adaptation was trying to be a refresh of the comedy, change some scenes, be a musical and everything, and it all just falls apart.
Had too much to do, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, yes, there are Broadway adaptations that people love, but, you know, the songs, you have to cut out important scenes and it just doesn't work nowadays. I think you could do it a lot back then.
I think High Society had a little bit of a leg up. It didn't have to fix anything with Philadelphia Story.
No, yeah, Philadelphia Story is perfect. Very perfect, but also very simple.
Yeah.
What they do, like, the changes between the two movies, like, in this movie, they have a scene where Tracy meets Connor at a library and have a conversation, but in the remake, she takes him out to the country house she talks about in the first movie, and they have this whole new scene where it develops their romance earlier on in the movie. So there's changed things that work with the movie, but still kept the essence.
Yeah.
And a lot of recent remakes don't do that. They either are shot for shot or have no idea what they're doing.
That's true.
They fall apart. But
my hottie hot take is, now, I've been watching, because of the recent weeks we wrote It Happened One Night, then we watched this one.
These comedies, yeah.
Yeah, so romantic comedies. And I've been watching, like, a few romantic comedies recently on cable and stuff like that.
Recent or 90s?
90s. Okay, 90s. 90s. I was like, where have we gone wrong? Like the biggest hit over the last couple of years in romantic comedies is Anyone But You, which is a serviceable film. But it is no way...
Oh, my God,
close to this movie. It's not even close to, like, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I watched that, like, last 2 days ago, and that movie is just, it works so well. And, like, the meet cute, all these movies turn on a thing where, you know, there's a misunderstanding, and
miscommunication trope.
Like, It Happened One Night had a great one, you know?
So, yeah, a lot of these films, a lot of those early romantic comedies have the miscommunication trope, but as we've gone on through the years, a lot of people like to get away from that just because... Especially now, we have the thing called a cell phone, which you can just text someone, these are my feelings. But, unfortunately, because we're moving on so much with technology, we've forgotten how to communicate with each other realistically. Yeah, and so our romantic comedies have faltered. And also, because we're lying, you know, we talk about, oh, I want this trope, but then when they do it, you're like, oh, I've seen it before, but there's no...
But the seen it before, like, oh, give me this movie again. Like, you know, make it properly.
You know why you can't do this movie again?
Why?
We make so much fun of the rich.
Yeah,
we
that's true.
Do, we
that's
This true. Is a little, ha-ha, like, yeah. oh, she's rich. No, no, nowadays it's Succession.
Yeah.
It's rich people are evil, and they own mega companies.
They seem to be, in this movie, the way it's shot and stuff like that, and maybe it has something to do with the people that made this movie, because Katharine Hepburn's from a rich family.
They're socialites, you know?
They sort of been put on a pedestal in this movie.
Yes, and the only one that's willing to, like, kind of take them down was Connor's character, the reporter.
Which is Jim Short.
Who is, like, the everyman and thinks those people. But then he learns to realize, no, I love her and I treat her like a goddess. It's that kind of thing. Of,
yeah.
They don't, you know, necessarily, this is just, like, a quite fun, loving, idealistic version of socialites, whereas nowadays we do not. We make fun of it.
No.
And even now when we see, like, a movie like Anyone But You, these people have money and we just gloss over that fact.
Yeah.
Because we know if we go too much into it, we'd make fun of it.
Yep.
So.
Well, like, the elements of what I love in cinema is thrillers and romantic comedies. And we nearly get there every time with the thrillers. They're just not quite there. A thrill that I saw recently was Conclave. Like, great thriller, great aspects. Just didn't land.
Stick the landing.
And then same with Anyone But You. Like, it had definite elements, that movie. But it just didn't stick the landing like this one.
A flaw of that movie, which this doesn't have, because this has a really good supporting cast of really funny characters.
Mm-hmm.
The sister, the uncle, the dad who's kind of troubled, you know, all that. Whereas nowadays you have Anyone But You, the friends and the people getting married, they're all quite boring.
Yeah.
And they weren't, like, they were more of a hindrance than anything.
Yeah. You had, like, the dad that couldn't dive into the pool. Like, that, what were we doing with that? Murray. Like, yeah,
what
yeah.
What were we doing here?
What were we doing that scene? Like, surely we could have had him doing something.
And, like, I get, the really nice thing was the whole Paris bit, like, him talking about how he'd go on a train, but do it in a different way. Like, I've just seen this.
You're a grown ass man. What are you doing diving into a pool? Like, yeah, it was just weird. But anyway,
when Glenn Powell did you have a pool?
Yeah, that is it for clickbait. Don't forget, movie news drops later in the week, and we'll have a great clickbait then. Let us get on to our movie review, and it's Scene Breakdown, and it's because Tana's one of her favorite movies. Hannah with the Scene Breakdown.
Yes.
Take it away, Hannah.
Well, as we enter the stage, we have Tracy, Dexter and Tracy are splitting this. It's seen Dexter is leaving their house that they live in. They're throwing out, Tracy's throwing out stuff, breaks his golf clubs. He goes into, but then just pushes her back into the house.
So,
like, they have.
We couldn't do that now.
No. But also,
He
wanted the soccer. And that's
he pushes so hard.
Do you know what? It works in a really funny way because a lot of time people are very much like, ooh, and...
But you know what you can tell from straight away from this scene is that the stars in this movie had a great time making this movie. In the research when I was doing for this, they got on all so well.
That's good.
They really loved hanging out with each other. And you can tell by that scene wouldn't have worked...
If they hated each other.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been play-hearted.
Because you would have, like Cary Grant was going to do something.
Yeah, like some of these movies where the stars actually hate each other, you couldn't get away with the fact that they're pushing it. So it really helps.
It's go with the wind.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like they hate each other.
Maybe Clark Gable wasn't nice.
You know what? It works, though.
Yeah,
true. But we see Tracy, they split, and then it goes 2 years later. And it's like 2 years later, and Tracy is getting remarried. And Tracy's talking with her mother and her sister, and they're talking about how she's not inviting her father to a wedding because they have seemed to, her mother and father have had a separation because he is, you know,
dating a dancer
secretly, which, you know, so but secretly. They're still, you know, Tracy does go and meet with her fiancé George, with her sister, to go horse riding with her Uncle Willie. We then get a scene where we meet Connor and Liz at Spy Magazine, forced to do an article on Tracy Redding. They do not want to do this. You get Connor is like the everyman who doesn't like these socialites.
We find out later he's like an author. She's like an artist. They both don't want to work for Spy, but they're just doing it because they need money.
They need money.
Yeah.
And Dexter.
So, isn't it funny that he's in the background?
I love that bit. Yeah. Like, they're discussing how much they hate it, and Dexter is just walking behind them.
And, like we know how famous Cary Grant is at this stage. We'd seen him, we've seen him in Bringing Up Baby, we've seen him in so many different movies. Holiday. All that stuff. So, he's famous at this stage. And then he's lurking in the background. Is he an extra?
You can tell he's not, because that's Cary Grant. Dexter is helping the two get into the wedding. And they're going to pretend to be, friends of the brother and stuff. Getting in. Connor is... So they go to Tracy's house. Connor and Liz end up waiting and looking around the South Parlor. They're being fun.
This is where they are poking fun at the rich.
Yeah. No. They're having they go around touching things that make no sense.
Playing around with the phone. There's all these different
this
rooms.
When you're watching this movie, it's so great because there'll be those exact moments happen in the remake, and it's just it's really nice.
Like when he goes into a room, I think this is the South East Wing or something like that.
They're laughing it up. It's actually quite funny.
Yeah.
And so what happens, Dexter goes in surprise and tries to find Tracy. So he meets up with Tracy and her mother and sister.
The sister
and the mother.
Yeah.
Everyone but Tracy, which he affectionately calls Red, because, Catherine Herbert was Red. And after a brief interrogation, because Tracy... doesn't
she's
trust
so prickly.
Him. She's like, so prickly. I don't trust him at all. Yeah. I don't trust him at all. And you know what? Because they've grown up together.
Yeah.
So they know each other quite well. Dexter confesses that...
This is where, in the original, it actually worked better than the remake. Because
the remake, they know their reporters.
But also, the age gap difference between Bing Crosby and Grace Kelly is so huge. But here,
I see what you're saying. But
it actually works.
For me, I can understand that with Grace Kelly and Frank Sinatra. That was fine. It's between, for me, Frank Sinatra and the reporter in the remake. Yeah. That's the only one I'm like, because Frank Sinatra has been seen more with younger women. It just seemed a little odd.
But I'd have to say, the reporter and Jimmy Stewart, great chemistry in this movie.
I think everyone in this
Jimmy
movie
Stewart
has,
and Catherine Epperman's
got everyone great chemistry. Has good chemistry. This yeah, one. Everyone yeah. does.
Yeah. It really works.
It.
You can tell why it's on this list. It definitely plays.
So they find their reporters and they have blackmail against Tracy's father because they're going to release the Spy magazine.
The editor is it just seems like a bit of a creep.
Of course, Spy magazine. Are they? It's literally in the name. They're going to release the father and the dancer in New York and, Tracy and her sister Dinah decide to put up an act. Because if they're going to have to play, they're going to play it up. So they play it up like they're really richy-rich socialites that are very delusional. And the sister's very funny. She pretends she's speaking greatness. French. Yeah, same in the remake. Very funny. I don't know what that's just a really adorably funny.
That part could be really annoying if it's not played properly.
So annoying. Because she is her stick is an annoying little sister. However, she plays the part quite well.
Yeah.
Dinah put on, fake the reporters. Dexter stays to make it look like the perfect family. Tracy ends up pretending that Uncle Willie is her father, because she didn't invite her father to the wedding, but she needs to make it out like we're perfect family material here, like nothing's gone wrong. So she makes out Uncle Willie is her father to the reporters, and then she does And then she tells Dexter it's all his fault. Connor goes to the library for research and meets up with Tracy.
Who is reading Dex...
the book.
Connor's book.
Yeah, Connor's book.
Yeah.
Kind of odd. Like,
and she's like so surprised that he's actually talented.
Yeah.
She thinks he's just like a hack journalist, but he's actually an accomplished author.
Mm, yes.
Should be doing this all the time.
The pair start conversing. They decide maybe go swimming with each other. Don't understand. Like, it's really funny how she's like, she's really angry at her father for spending time with this other woman, but then she has no concept of like going swimming with another guy after like her wedding in 2 days. Like, I don't know. She's a bit odd. But before they make it into the pool, she's interrupted by Dexter.
Yep.
Her and Dexter get into an argument. They're bickering back and forth. Love Connor that. Slips away because yep. He's just like, this is not my place.
Yep.
Dexter makes a point to tell Tracy that George is beneath her, that yep. her fiancé is beneath her, and she learns, and that she needs to learn some humility. Like, she needs to just understand there are other people than her, like, you know, that mm-hmm. have feelings. George intervenes. And Dexter left a wedding present, which is a boat, a model boat of that sailed on for their honeymoon and leaves. And true love, by the way.
That is the corniest name for a boat.
And you know what? I love it.
later in the film, he says he's working on another boat and he calls it True Love 2. Oh my God. And then she says later in the film, if you name it True Love 2, I'll sink it, or, you know...
Yeah.
She hates the idea. She's right. That's a dumb name for a boat.
It's a dumb name, but he's just trying to get a ride. George admits to Tracy that she is like a queen that should be worshipped in that conversation. But Tracy says, I just want to be loved. Like, I don't... There's this weird thing where she is being... Because she's this goddess, a queen. She just wants to be a person like everyone else. Yep. And she just doesn't know how she can't get everyone else to see her that way.
So we're halfway through the movie. This movie has set up a great second half because you have got Dexter...
Love triangle. Love square.
Yeah. You got Dexter who wants Red back. Dina, who's the
sister. Dinah, the sister.
Sister wants Dexter and her sister back together. She loves the fact, the sister loves the fact that he pushed her. Loves it.
Oh,
you've got Connor,
who's
falling for Red.
Despite the fact that he hates social life.
Yeah. You've got the photographer, which is...
Liz, in love with Connor.
Yeah, and you can see that. You've got George, who loves Red, or loves the idea of Red, or loves the idea that he could rise through the ranks to become president one day.
He made his fortune.
Social climb. Yeah
he's a social climber. So he made his fortune. Yep. And so it makes him different to everyone else there because a lot of them have their fortune and were born with it. And it just shows, like, you know, we've gotten all kind of what's wrong here just from the people's personalities.
Yeah.
And that's all that needs to happen. Tracy and her parents have a chat that leads to... Oh. Tracy's father completely insulting her.
He says calling one of the worst things.
Calling her a woman made of bronze. Yeah. Like, oh,
you're not human. Like, he's saying you're not human.
Because she, again, she just chooses to... Well, she doesn't care for others.
He also blames Tracy for the fact that he is cheating on her, on her mother.
Yeah, no.
Because
no.
She's not seen as the young girl to make him feel young.
Yeah, weird.
It's weird.
He's weird.
What an a-hole.
No, he's weird. I think he's... No, he's super weird, but
he's
also
one of the most evil characters
we've had
so far.
Tracy's similar to a character like Jane Austen's Emma, which a character that completely is just...
Classic. Yeah, this is a classic
very
Jane
similar
Austen's
to
movie.
Yeah, very similar to Emma, but Emma was more of a matchmaker.
Yeah.
But the same kind of things thought, you know, thinks everything should go around the way she wants it and doesn't really understand other people's feelings can get hurt. Yeah. Uncle Willie and Tracy's father make it clear to the reporters who's who because of the Uncle Willie mix-up.
That is so funny. It's not needed.
The reporters know.
Yeah.
Like, they figured it out quite quickly.
And the father's well-known.
Yeah, I don't get it.
He's like a rich mining magnate.
It's an odd thing.
He's
but
like
anyway,
a lord.
Uncle Willie and Triz make clear the reporter who's who, and then Tracy leaves to go dress for the party.
Yeah.
But sneaks in a few drinks. Even though Tracy makes clear she does not drink.
Oh, she is throwing them back. And because she has a problem with drinking because
Dexter
was
an alcoholic.
He was an alcoholic. Yeah.
And he had a major problem with drinking.
Which they don't clearly say.
No. Well,
but
yes, that was
it's intimated.
There's a whole thing why they don't do that. But it's intimated, like he talks about making jokes about his time in sanitariums and everything. Yeah. But In this version, you don't see him drink either.
Yeah.
You see him just have water, which is, you know, interesting. Juice. Yeah, interesting. At the party, Tracy and Connor, I think Connor's a bit tipsy too because they're like flirting.
Well, he's not used
and
to drinking
dancing.
Champagne. So
yeah, yeah.
He's gone to what he said, you know. I'm a whiskey drinker.
Tracy ends up fighting with George a little bit. Yeah. Connor goes to Dexter's house and... Connor works on a way to get Tracy's father out of the blackmail Dexter.
Because Dexter's been trying to do this since the start. This is the whole thing. Because
he's trying to get them out. Yeah. He's trying to save
Tracy's
family's
quit his job. And this is the best way you can...
Yeah, because they know secret thing about the editor.
Yeah.
Father's out of the blackmail. And when Liz arrives, she helps them. And she has a passenger in the car, which is a kind of passed out Tracy.
She's maggot.
Yeah. And then the two drunk people go and drive, by the way.
Yeah, right.
The two drunk people go off and drive and go back to Tracy's to drink more, dance, flirt with each other. The pair gets so intense. Like, they're just like, he's just talking her up and she's like,
she's
she's lapping it.
Yeah.
And it leads to them kissing.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're a woman made of flesh and blood, you know, and to be loved and stuff.
Exactly what she wanted to hear after being called bronze.
She did. She just wanted someone to say it.
Great ego boost.
And the pair run off. Dexter and Liz arrive at the house.
Well, because another thing is like, so George, as you said, they've had a fight. And so she's sort of acting out.
Oh, no, she does
and
that.
George
yeah.
is, and like they keep hearing the telephone ring. And,
yeah, she like.
And
she...
they just ignore it. And so then.
Oh, yeah. They go off and run.
So Dexter comes.
Dexter comes, and him and Liz have a heart to heart where she confesses that she is waiting for Connor to kind of grow up, romantically speaking. Like he. Because she's been married before, so she's just waiting for the guy to, you know, kind of look her way in a weird way of saying. George also arrives because he's fed up of waiting. Yep. And he and Dexter have it out about Tracy. Until Connor arrives with Tracy in his arms drunk and wet from the pool.
Yes. And he's singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Rainbow.
Wrong words. Brilliant, though.
Love it.
Absolutely brilliant.
And then they didn't do... Like, she hit the water and the wine hit her. Yeah. Like, it was...
Yeah,
it was
definitely didn't do anything. He takes her upstairs.
Connor puts her to bed, and when he comes back downstairs...
Well, the sister sees it.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's confronted by Dexter and George, and then Dexter, you know, socks him.
I want to bring up the thing about the sister. She was a well-known child actress.
Yes.
She was in Little Women, which was directed by George Coco, which is the original.
Big,
huge movie. She's... And child actresses, normally this role wouldn't work for them, but she's fantastic. So I just want to reiterate that. She actually died really young at 41 because she had a heart condition.
Oh, yeah.
And ended up dying really young. But, yeah, she was fantastic.
Yeah, loved so at the moment, child actresses, like, they're either really good or they're super annoying.
Yeah.
I will say. George, after this confrontation, though, George leaves in a fury. He is not happy. He doesn't, what it looks like, he just doesn't
like
it.
Off. It's the wedding's off.
Because he just wants... What it seemed like, he just wanted the perfect woman. And I think...
Yeah, he wanted, like, the...
Tracy's a little bit flawed sometimes.
Yeah, he wanted the accessory to the rich guy.
The next morning, Dinah brings Uncle Willie to Tracy's.
Yeah.
Very cute.
And, like, everyone's just so wasted. Like, they're just so hungover.
Yeah, because they had a party the night before.
Yeah, great.
And then they have a wedding the next day.
Huge.
Tells him that, but she tells him what she saw last night and how she, maybe she should be with Connor. Like, she's like second guessing everything.
Yeah, yeah. Because the sister wants her to be Dexter, but now she's thinking,
But she doesn't like Connor either. Yeah. She's like, Dexter arrives
Everyone knows.
Tries to dispel it, like a dream, and he's like trying to see, like,
maybe she did see it. Like, he looks up to the window.
Because Dexter has stories of when they used to drink together, and they...
She
would never forget.
Because she does this blackout thing where she just... Because she's the perfect girl, so she doesn't do that
stuff. But Connor sort of doesn't remember either.
Oh, no. Tracy comes downstairs, hangover, and Dave has no memory of last night. Which, again, I think just... Catherine's is great, but when Grace Kelly does this in High Society, it's just so funny.
When George, Connor is drunk, he's hiccuping, right?
Yeah. Oh,
that he's really giving it up. That wasn't in the script. And it absolutely made Cary Grant laugh. He loved it. He absolutely loved it. So, like, you know, the real drunk, you know, in this one, Connor is a great drunk. Grace Kelly in High Society, she's fantastic.
She's so funny.
She's great the next day as well.
The next day, she's just funny.
But this whole little scene, how it plays out where she's reading George's letter and all that stuff, it is so cute. I could just lap it up.
So Dex is feeding her lines of like, you know, maybe you want to go for a swim, like trying to initiate her memory back up. And when Connor appears, it comes clear to Tracy what actually had transpired, and she feels awful. She's like, what have I done? Like, oh my God, like, I can't believe myself. And she does call George, and he just tells her on the phone, I left a note for you earlier, just go read it. Like, he is done. He's like,
but he does come.
Yeah, he's like, I'm done.
But then when he comes, he does not want a bar of her. He says, you need to make sure that this never happens again.
So Dexter does cheer her up. He gets her something to wash away her hangover. Cheers her up.
Willie's
magic potion. He's doing wonders back there. And
gets Connor it as well.
Yeah, she gets ready. The no, how he can't. George's no is like, he can't go through with the wedding. He's like, I'm not liking this.
But she's already off him anyway.
Oh, no, she was already off him. She got what she needed from Connor, which was the, you know, someone just telling her that she's real. And then she's now in a state of, I don't want to go through this, but she kind of has to.
So George goes.
But George makes the final, like, I don't want to do this. You know, I don't want this. Connor does offer to step in for the wedding. He's like...
In front of Liz.
Yeah. And she, like, smiles and is like, no, I don't want that. And I think Liz doesn't want me to...
A friend of mine, I think, you know, would really hate that.
Yeah. And he kind of...
Like, I don't know, like, it's not played up on much, but the relationship between... Tracy and Liz and Connor and Dexter, they look like they're good friends.
Yeah, they work at the end of this movie.
I reckon after this movie, they would have, you know, dinner parties and all that. I reckon they'd hang out.
It works. It's funny.
Yeah.
They do seem like friends by the end of the film.
But a classic, you know, the old, I'm going to tell the...
I'm going to tell the people.
And then Dexter's telling her, and then she's like, sort of walks past, and then, oh, what?
So she's like in the, she off, like she's got to tell everyone it's off. However, Dexter offers to have a proper wedding that we were supposed to have 2 years ago, but we eloped and we didn't give you that, guys. That
like
chance.
A lot of movies have done this since, but this is
Tracy's
really,
glad
really good.
Everyone's happy. Yeah. The end. The like a lot of times when the two, yeah, go.
I want to talk about the ending.
Yes.
Because. The ending
finished perfectly.
Absolutely finished perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't finish quickly. Not like it happened one night. We actually saw them get married. We saw the camera.
They make a little joke. They're really lit.
I thought it didn't...
You had more fun with that.
It didn't rush like it happened one night. It was a perfect ending.
Played out, yeah.
I love the ending of this movie. I really did.
Yeah. I also find that the trope of the two leads coming back together, even though they were taught, they, you know, were totally not together, but then came back together, usually doesn't always work for me because I'm like kind of bored with them, or she should have been with someone else. But in this movie, it made sense why they split up in the first place.
Yeah,
because
they were too young
to do it, and they needed time apart and grow from each other. Yeah, he improved himself. Yep. He was a gentleman.
Yep.
What you find out throughout the movies that sometimes his actions were different because he's a gentleman.
He
went away.
He moved to South America. He lived the life, and he came back and he realized he loved her.
And you know? She also grew up as well in her just in these like past 2 days.
Yeah,
she went from just going along with life and trying to be happy to being told she was made of bronze and she would never be happy, and then realizing, no, I just want to be with someone that loves me for me.
Yep.
And the only one that's technically on her level by the end of it is someone like Dexter.
Yep.
Because no matter what, even though she loves the idea of being with O'Connor, it just doesn't, it won't work for her. You know, she needs to have that socialite life. And, which is different,
but she also needs to have the banter, and she has the banter
but also she loves that life,
yeah,
that lifestyle, and that's something that in It Happened One Night she's willing to give up that lifestyle for her relationship, and in this it's like, no, I need to have the lifestyle, the man and everything, got my cake and eat it too, and it works because the film is delightful in that sense. Loved it. It's a delightful meal.
Absolutely loved it. Hannah,
yeah,
reasons too.
It's a completely perfect romantic comedy.
Love it.
In all sense. Yep. The actors are absolutely amazing in it. The chemistry is fire. It's, you know, when I didn't know it was originally a play.
Yeah.
And I can't tell with this one. A lot of time you can.
Yeah.
In this one, so to speak, I don't know. I don't fully can tell that. So it works really well in this movie.
Well, the plays were so successful, and Katharine Hepburn was in all the things. And when the last time they drew the curtain down, she said, don't draw the curtain down because the curtain can never come down on the Philadelphia Story. Like, she loved that play.
Oh, absolutely. No, there's something about Philadelphia Story. It's just lovely. It just works.
It's perfect.
Every ends.
Reasons not to? I really struggled to find one. The only thing I didn't like him pushing over Katharine Hepburn at the start. That's the only thing I didn't like.
I thought it was funny.
Sure.
I can get over that stuff.
Sure. Hannah.
Red flag, sorry.
Would you buy this one on Blu-ray?
Yeah.
100%.
100%.
Would you watch this movie again?
Yep.
100%. Hannah, does this deserve to be on the list?
Yep.
100%. Deserve to be higher? 100%.
Yep.
I think this deserves to be higher.
Yeah. I just love it.
I reckon this is one of the best movies we've seen so far.
I love it. Yep.
Do you reckon
it's right up there with a lot of the other ones we've seen?
Do you reckon It Happened One Night's better than this movie?
I prefer It Happened One
Night. I think the ending of this movie puts it over the top.
The reason... Yeah, I know why you say that. But for me, It Happened One Night, I just love Gable and the performances and everything in it. But also the idea of that the movie just flows really nicely and the tropes on. I love this film. But it just makes me think of High Society, which I enjoy a lot.
Oh, I think it's the great companion pieces. They're great companion pieces. But I love it's a great twosome. And it's actually a thing I wanted to bring up in the future. What would you watch this movie like too far? I reckon this and High Society together.
Of course.
Just brilliant.
Even though it's this, you know what? Same movie, but different vibes. Yep. And they just work. They flow.
Is this movie a watch or a miss?
It's a definite watch.
And rating for this one?
I don't know.
It's only one answer.
Are you going to put it in the...
It's an all-time classic.
Thank you.
It is 100%.
I'd put it in an all-time classic as well. No. Just for High Society alone.
This is 100% an all-time classic, and I highly recommend.
Yeah, there's no fault.
Yeah. That is it for today's show. Next week, movie number 43 is Midnight Cowboy, starring John Boyd and Dustin Hoffman. I'm walking here.
Oh, that's the I'm walking here?
Yeah.
Wow, cool.
Hannah hasn't seen this one, so I'll be back doing scene breakdown.
Wow.
That is my lovely co-host, Hannah. Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe. Drop a comment below if you liked Philadelphia Story or what movies you're looking forward to in the future on AFI Top 100 10 Year Revisited. Don't forget, tomorrow, What's Next, the show where we help you figure out what to watch next, Conclave and Den of Thieves 2. Pantera or Panther. Whatever you want to talk about. And movie news dropping later in the week. Long live cinema. And it's bye for now.